Having our faith nourished this morning, having come to the table, we now once again turn to God who fills our hearts, who grants what we need to be sustained in this walk. And tonight we turn to the Gospel according to Luke, where we've been studying the Word of God, page 861, Luke chapter 6, page 861 in the Bibles there before you. Luke's been kind of looking at who Jesus is. Really, the gospel is about who Jesus is and how we are to respond to him. That's the focus of Luke's writing. And he contrasts Jesus quite starkly with the Pharisees, who had a religious practice, but whose hope was really in the religious practice that they had developed, in the laws that they had created, more so than in God, who was the one alone who could deliver them from their sin. They had come to believe that their righteousness, their works, were going to save them. They had sacrificed so much. They had given so much that God must have thought wonderfully about them and thought, what a marvelous group of teachers are the teachers of the law, and how holy and how concerned they are about upholding God's law. And again, we've said this before, and I say it again because I want us to not miss this. It is good to want to serve the Lord and to be holy, to follow after the Lord. But our hope is not in our holiness, our right living, but rather in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone was blameless, as we saw this morning. God had given his covenants to Israel. God had given them the Sabbath day. God had given them temple worship. He had given them everything that spoke of the need to be set apart and to be those who were living for the Lord. And he had done this out of his grace and mercy. Deuteronomy 7 says he did not choose the Israel because they were greater in number, but indeed because they were small and insignificant. And it was that God might be glorified. And we sometimes feel that way, don't we? We feel as those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, how small in number we are. Will anyone take notice of us? And indeed, the Lord says, these are my people. These are the ones in whom is my delight. And I want to give them my law that they might know the way to go. What we see tonight, a point of contention between Jesus and the teachers of the law, they had really built up the Sabbath. And I want you to think just for a moment what's going on in Israel, amongst the Jews. Think about this. By the time Jesus had appeared on the scene, the Israelites had been under Roman rule for several hundred years. They had heavy taxation. They were burdened. They felt like they were going to be extinguished. They had lost their native tongue. They were speaking Aramaic as opposed to Hebrew. Their heritage was fading away. They had not had a king since the Babylonian captivity. It helps us understand why the religious leaders, those who were entrusted with keeping the truth before the people, why they were so concerned with protecting the heritage that God had given, protecting the Old Testament law, particularly the Sabbath. They put all kinds of protections around it. Anyone who didn't keep their rules were seen as a threat to the law. And that then makes sense of the clash we're about to read about here in Luke chapter 6. The Sabbath was a source of controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. Listen to how Luke presents that. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 1. This is the Word of God. Give your full attention to the reading of it. On a Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat? and also gave it to those with him? And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there. Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them all, he said, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they, the teachers of law, were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. This is the word of God. Dear people of God, I want us to remember that the law of God is good. It presents God's perfect plan for his creatures to live unto his glory. There's natural law we talk about. There's the moral law that sets before us here. Out of this comes our civil law, though we're seeing that break down. And in the process where there is not a standard, where there is not a focus upon the Lord, we see the civil law just falling apart because there's no standard, no absolute by which authority can speak to people. And it seems to be such a confusion in our day. The law is helpful. It is good. The Pharisees studied the Old Testament law day and night. They prided themselves in this, and they knew all the ins and outs. They had it memorized. They were so concerned about the law being preserved that they added laws around it to protect it from being violated. And in their law-keeping and in their system that they had built up, they truly thought that God was fully pleased with them because of their actions. That's the scene as we have Jesus and his disciples before these religious leaders. The whole scene here in Luke 6 starts innocently enough. The disciples and Jesus are walking through a field on the Sabbath, and they take some of the grain, rubbing it in their hands that they might eat. That was permitted. Deuteronomy 23 talked about how it was possible if one found themselves in a field, they were allowed to partake of that grain. They couldn't take a sickle and start harvesting in a full sense, but they could eat what was needed for them to be satisfied, to be fed. But the issue that the Pharisees had here was that Jesus did this on the Sabbath, that he was breaking their laws. They said in verse 2, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Very interesting that they would say that, because as I just mentioned, the Old Testament said there was nothing unlawful about partaking of grain in someone's field, as long as there wasn't a full-blown harvest taking place. But they had established laws, and they had built it up to such a degree that they said that on the Sabbath there were certain things you couldn't do, and they had said that you couldn't reap, you couldn't glean, and you couldn't thresh. And what they had done here in their taking of that grain and rubbing it between their hands and then eating of it was to break their laws. They were working on the Sabbath. They were doing that which was unlawful. The Sabbath had become a day of what you cannot do. I can relate to that. Raised in a preacher's home, there were only a few things you could do on the Sabbath. You could take a nap. You might be able to read a book if it's a good one, approved. Or you could take a walk with Dad. I could probably ask you if you all have some similar story to tell. But it was a day of prohibition. Dad said, no football, no basketball. He says, I am preparing for the Sabbath. I don't need to be outside refereeing when somebody's screaming about who made a touchdown or who fouled who. He says, I just don't want that. There was a concern to protect the day, and it was a concern that was well meant. This is a day in which we don't need to be engaged in these things, to be taken off of what God would have us to do, and that is to do good. And the Sabbath is, it's a very important command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let me just a bit of background here, not to get off of what we're looking at here, but just a bit of background. Remember when God sent manna to his people, he gave strict guidelines about the gathering of manna. If you remember Exodus chapter 16, they could gather for 6 days. And on the sixth day, what? They had to gather twice as much because there wouldn't be any on the Sabbath. They were not to go out expecting to pick up manna. They were not to harvest. They were not to take in on the Sabbath. Indeed, if they broke the Sabbath, God said they must be put to death. Exodus 31, verse 15. God takes his law very seriously, and the Sabbath no less serious than any of the others. Though we might see it different today when we see how people look at the Ten Commandments and which ones they choose to obey and which ones they rather ignore. There's another example in Numbers chapter 15 where a man is picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And the Lord said that the man must die for his disobedience. I'm not making this up. You can go look it up. You can read it for yourselves. God is highly concerned that he would be obeyed in all things, including the day of rest, a day for worship. The description of what Israel was doing in that time was that they were despising the word of God. And God will not have his word despised or taken lightly. So now back to the Pharisees and Jesus. They're fully in their rights to have a serious view of the Sabbath because the Lord has a serious view of the Sabbath. But in their view of the Sabbath, they had come to make it a day where they could neglect those things that God was calling them to. The doing of good. The providing in a needful situation, someone who is hungry, someone who is in need, providing for them. And the Pharisees had come to encrust that Sabbath law with so much of their own teaching that the Sabbath had become a hardship. It had become a day of don'ts rather than a day of how is it that we can set this day aside such that God is honored and glorified? Jesus reminded the Pharisees of their history, reminding them of one of the kings of Israel in verse 3 there. He says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? Him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, also gave it to those with him. Why does God draw this out? Why does Jesus draw this out? He draws this out to show that the law is not meant to create hardship. It is to provide opportunity to push people forward in the doing of good, to protect from doing evil, to keep us from doing that which is wrong, but not keeping us from doing that which is commanded. And as we've seen, as we see every week, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus comes to teach that the Sabbath, to fulfill the law. And he says, in keeping the Sabbath, it is not a day of don'ts in the sense of it, you're going to be saved by cutting yourself off from the world. Rather, you reveal that you have a true and saving faith by demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ to those who are around you. Pharisees knew the story. It's rather interesting that Jesus says, "Have you not read?" to the Pharisees. Have you not read the Old Testament? Fairly provocative. Have you not looked at the Old Testament? And they're thinking, "What, are you nuts? That's all we ever do. We spend every day looking at the Old Testament." Yes, but have you really seen what God is teaching in His Word? Do you have true sight? The law has been given. Do you understand what it teaches? Very provocative to the teachers of the law. And Jesus then unfolds it for them by using this account, showing that the need that David had called for the priest to set aside the bread of to take the bread of presence, which was lawful only for the priest to give it to David because he had need. This work of necessity, this provision we talk about often when we're talking about what can we do on the Sabbath. Work of necessity. Providing for those who are in need. Seeing to it. We won't look at all the details of the story there in 1 Samuel 21, but we remember that David was in need of food, he and his men. There was no common bread, only the bread set apart for the Lord. And David asked the high priest for it and he gave it. Love called for this. And obedience to the Lord called for this, to provide for those in need. And Jesus wanted his hearers to think about the principle of love as they looked at the Sabbath. What did it symbolize? It symbolized God's wondrous work of creation, after which he rested because all was very good, in keeping with his commands, in keeping with his design. And it was seen then as that day that reminded us too that we can rest in God. We are not working to save ourselves. We are not working to provide for ourselves, but God has provided all things. And therefore we can rest in Him, trusting that He will do all, give us all that we need, that we might love and serve even as He does. In God's economy, this day of rest is given for us to think about how God provides life for us and is given that we might love our neighbor. The day is an opportunity to do the work of the Lord. Just as David and his men were doing the work of the Lord, so too the disciples were serving Christ. Therefore, they had the right to eat and to find strength for their labor. Think of the ways that we do that here, and I'm still learning that. We come in the summertime, so some of these programs are off, but the small groups, the welcome wagon, all of these opportunities to fellowship, to be together on this day, to say, this is a day where we can remind ourselves of the goodness of God and invite others to share it with us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing and should be embraced by the people of God. In my home there, as I said, there were rules for the Sabbath. We could take a nap, but there was also hospitality. There was always an opportunity for people to come over. There was an invitation given. There was an understanding that we're not just to sleep the day away. There's an opportunity to show God's love through our actions. The Sabbath is a day to meet need. The Sabbath is a day to do good as well. Luke records another Sabbath there, verse 6, where Jesus was being watched by the teachers of the law who wanted desperately to catch him in some sin for which they might charge him. The mindset's been given, hasn't it? They're looking for a way to charge him. They thought the Sabbath was a day for inactivity. Yet Jesus declared himself Lord of the Sabbath. What was he saying there? He's not saying, I can do whatever I want because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He says, I'm showing you the intent of the law because I'm the one who's given the law. Do as I do. Luke tells us there's a man with a shriveled hand who comes. His right hand, that hand of strength, the hand of provision. We see that throughout the scriptures. We can look at that. We won't tonight. But this indication of the hand that provides is shriveled. The man is lacking ability. Is this a life or death matter? No. The Pharisees had said in their addition to the law that if something is not of a life or death matter, healing could not take place on the Sabbath. Jesus was knowledgeable of that law, and he wanted them to see that it was a day for doing good, for helping where there was need. And he was saying something about his Father in this, declaring that the Father was good, that the Father is working. I and the Father are working, he says in John chapter 5, and upsets the Pharisees as though God would never dream of working. And then we would say as though the world could be upheld without God working. He says, this day is for works of necessity and for doing good. In every generation, we have extremes, don't we? We have those who are so bound to what they grew up with that they refuse to think of the deeper meaning, the deeper freedoms which God gives. We have those who are so enamored by new and novel ways of expressing the faith, they're ready to get rid of all biblical practice. If we understand what Jesus says here, we get the best of tradition and the best understanding of how we're freed to do the good, to avoid the evil. We avoid the extremes. Jesus is that perfect interpreter and servant of the law. Jesus knew what the Pharisees taught about the Sabbath, so he raised the question in order to discuss the issue. Is it lawful? Verse 9. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? Is it lawful to save life? And he looked around and no one wanted to engage. They were too afraid to engage, to say the wrong thing, or too ashamed, perhaps, to engage. Mark chapter 3 records this event as well. And there in Mark chapter 3, we read that Jesus looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. The issue here was not the law, it was the heart. They were seeking to receive God's favor because of what they had done, though they did not love their neighbor. They were using their laws to establish inactivity rather than to see that the law protected from evil but promoted the good. As Jesus looked around for their answer, no one gave answer. And as we read, he looked at the man and said, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. He healed the man. He made clear what was the right understanding to see in the law before us, the path to go, to do good, to show love. And what is very interesting is Luke captures the Pharisees' attitude to Jesus after he did this, after he healed the man. They're furious. They are white hot with rage. The word is they're out of their minds. They're so upset. And all they could think of was what they might do to get rid of this Jesus. What angered them so much? Well, one commentator, I think, hits it rightly when he says this. It was partly Jesus breaking one of their precious rules, but more so, it exposed their lack of love for people in need. Brothers and sisters, the law of God does not keep us from showing love to those in need. Indeed, it is the law which points us to that very thing, to be doing the work of the Lord. They were using the very law of God, writes this commentator going on, as an excuse for not showing mercy. This man had his hand healed because he believed Jesus could give him that ability, and Jesus was willing to show that goodness to him. The Pharisees needed to be healed from their crippling rage. They had an inability to live for the Lord because all they could think of was their righteousness and how they needed to remain separate. Jesus stood before them as Savior and was calling them to see the goodness of God in Him. Brothers and sisters, God is good. And He wants you to do good. He wants you to see need and respond as you are able. He wants you to show kindness where opportunity is given. I mean to say in my comment earlier about rest that there isn't a time for rest. We do need rest. But there is almost limitless opportunity to show good. And how often don't we miss it? We surround ourselves with, well, I would, but. And we forget the goodness of God and His love and His mercy. As we celebrate the communion, Lord's Supper this morning, tonight we think about God's giving to us, His laying down His life for us that we might live. And this is then a motivation. What is our response to that love? What is our response to God's tremendous love to us? It ought to drive us out to love others. Those right next to us and those all around us. That people might know that God is good. Luke wants his readers to understand that God will save people from all walks of life. Religion and laws are not to keep us from serving. If they do, they are not in keeping with God's way. What's ironic here on this Sabbath is Jesus was wanting to deliver, to do good. And all that the Pharisees could think was how to take a life, an innocent life, namely the Lord Jesus. One commentator says it this way: Jesus rejected all the man-made Sabbath regulations, regarding it as sinful to leave such a man in his pitiable condition while the opportunity was there to heal him. It was in agreement with God's will that he should be healed, even though it be on the Sabbath. What is unlawful on the Sabbath is to attempt to slay an innocent person, as the Pharisees and scribes were engaged in doing by watching Jesus with murderous intent. Dear people of God, it's set before us here tonight. Jesus says, I will lay down my life, giving for whatever need you have. I will show kindness, loving my Father, loving my neighbor, that they might be delivered. That's our call as we go out into this new week, where we see need to meet it if we're able, where we see blindness and sin to show kindness and love. Just who was Jesus? He was God in the flesh, teaching that we must place ourselves wholly at God's disposal to perform works of love and mercy whenever and wherever He calls us to do so. In this way, God is glorified through us, and that is the purpose for which we are created. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we consider this point of contention between those who seem to understand, who claim to understand the word, and Jesus, your Son, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, Lord over all, we're reminded that at times we can read your word and miss the application. We can miss the point. We pray that as we open your word this week, as we live before your face, as we see need, as we see those who are hurting, may we do good. May we not think that the law teaches us to be cut off from those around us. May we see the law as keeping us from sin and pointing us forward on the path to doing good, that you might be honored and glorified. Lord, forgive our many sins, as we know you have, as we heard this morning. Send us forth on our way rejoicing, wanting to share with others all that you've done for us. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.